Just a little bit care into those big slides. Then you can promise that, you know, what is shaping the world, bringing these people. So he brought these people. Daniel was interested. He reminded God that the exile is almost ended. The time was a choosing moment. But the angels came, Gabriel, Daniel. He was going to tell them about the future, so he said, well, what is also shaping today's cancer and also what the world leaders that we see today about their fallen nature and that they need to get their life back to not conforming with the age of prosperity. So, in Daniel 3 and 4, if you do the journey, of looking at them in Israel's life, and this worldview particularly has been related to Yahweh and also other gods that know. So we will look at that today to finish off Daniel's experience in chapter 4. Now, they're barbecuing a pig in the US, right? Probably hear about it. The fire is really young in this stage, and this, the pig is still spilling and wailing. But there's a lot of fat being trimmed off now from the pig, so that the baby, political baby train spot, some of the spot anyway, will find a flawed and godless culture of the Canaanites. These people are openly lawless, which the Bible talks about it. Is as a chapter 2, there are four crimes, four ways, four colors, and four transgenderism, and four murder, especially the babies. So, if you are a Christian, if you support that kind of party, there's a problem with your theology. Okay? So, that is what God is saying in this. We're going to talk a little bit about the view. I have a question around bookism. So I look at dictionary.com and this is what I find here. Promotion of liberal progressive ideology and policy and expression of sensitivity to the system of injustices and injustices. So we're living in a postmodern world. They say we accept everything, but we don't accept Christians. Okay? So this is something that changed now. And it is founded on basically a victim of the US. So I'm a victim of the government, I'm a victim of racial discrimination, therefore I need to separate my so victimhood is also a corrupted image of God. The pig also is a corrupted image of God. Now let's look at Nebuchadnezzar. In Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 21, there is this verse is very revealing. But the king of Babylon sent an apartment of way. And the king of the two ways means you come to a junction with two roads to choose from. He used divination. He shakes the arrows. He asks the household items. He looks at the river. Into his right hand came the divination, Jerusalem, who set battering the branches to open the mouth of killing, to lift up the voice with a shout of war. Who set lightning rams against the gates and cast up rams to be the city. So when you come to a fork road, he used divination to decide which way to lay a siege against Jerusalem. Then what he does. Now, of course, his advisor or between doing that kind of counsel, whatever it is. Now, Mesopotamian history begin with the city states. Nimrod seeks, remember? And then when he accumulate all these cities together, you form an empire with the Sumerian Empire. So the Sumerians and the Assyrians, and then finally the Babylonians, which are dealing with from this whole series of chapters. The laws and codes are passed from one empire to the next. So you look at the secular literature around these empires, they say this first is Sumerian, it's how the Sumerian then become powerful, they speak Akkadian, and then Babylon coming from Babylonia, yeah, the city of Babylon, they form and become stronger. So they took over the entire Mesopotamian geography. Now, by the time of the Babylonian Empire, at least after this chapter, yeah, this sort of divination becomes not important anymore because the king had become a follower of Yahweh, yeah, which he was weak of yeah, such king. So just wanted to be aware of the context. There was also a question to me, is a substitute king called the I don't know. So the 100-day period of substitution, that means the king is hidden somewhere. If you have three lunar eclipses and three solar eclipses, there are no more days to hide the king. The king is hidden for 365 days a year. That's not the case. This is the maximum days that needed, depending on how many interpretation of the solar eclipse and also the lunar eclipse. So the king was literally hidden, symbolically replaced. And it was basically administrative, very active, running the countries. So politically in control the city, the whole situation. But they have ways to calculate this number of days that need to be substituted, shorter periods, festival durations, adjustment days with movements, celebrating. After this chapter, all this disappeared. All this divination, this kind of thing disappeared. Because Daniel God is very powerful. And we listen to Daniel as well, that being the chief of all the counselors. So we have done chapter 9, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and today 4. And we're going to finish with how you see Nebuchadnezzar believe in Yahweh, and then his whole image is being restored because this world was created in the likeness of God and being. So this is one literal structure or view of the book of Daniel, and it's written for Israel. Yeah? So the one chapter one before it's written in Hebrew, mainly talking about the political changes and how they did their Babylonian studies and bachelor of it and then serving. Then in chapter 2.4b, 2 verse 4 in 7, chapter 7, 28, verse 28, entire book of 7, the history of Christ. So we are in the middle of this, all these are written in Arabic. And then later on, from chapter 8 to chapter 12, vision of the future, which is written in Hebrew. But the important thing that you need to remember is God shapes the world's kingdom to bring his people home. Yeah? And that's what we're concerned with going home. But the structure I want to take is this one here, the first sabbatical as 77. So with the three, here chapter 1 to chapter 9, verse 19. Is the first part of the first half of the book, and then the middle part of the book is chapter 9, verse 20 to 10, which is the visitation of Gabriel to Daniel, because Daniel was praying the mad, you know, for his then the future is from Daniel 9, 24 to chapter 12, verse 13 to 9, chapter 12, and the book, restoration from the end 77. This is when the Christian will be moved to the new Jerusalem temple. So that's how I see this book. Interesting. Now, just a bit of a reminder, last week we talked about Deixa pra lá. So, when a man is created and a new baby, the baby has got image about even though. That means the baby will grow up and expect to live the life of God, to be an ambassador, to talk about God himself. But when a man creates a dumb idol, he immediately corrupts himself in the likeness of the deity of his image that he created, no image of God. So Babylon's golden head in Daniel 2 was dream that is given to Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel was able to explain it and remember that he was there for one of the other things, including promoted to the chief of all the counselors that he was surrounding. So to believe in a statue of gold to prolong his empire, he built a golden image and entirely of gold and put it in place with just south of Babylon. And that was in chapter 3, right? He went through it. Now, this image is important in the sense that we need to know where we are, the application to us. If we start to worship idols, we start to believe in the worldview of the Canaanites, the lowering of image, not to God, but the lowering of image to the level of animals. And we'll cover all the animals in chapter 7 later on, a lot of animals. So the empires are seen as animals because this is gospel to think that they are the ones who corrupted their own image, so they are now fighting like animals. Now, if you take out your printed chronology, there are a few dates that is important to us. The creation date, the flood, and after the flood. Okay? So what I've done is I've done the animation of this one, and then you'll watch it directly because the music just eight lines. Starting from Genesis 1:9, that's it, 9 and 10. One guy talk about the earth before the flood, which is one piece of land. The ocean surrounding it. One piece of land. We don't know how it looks like, but we know it's from the headline that we think to use it. Founder of the painting was broken up, therefore it forced the continent to fall as we see it today. The clock is at 2483, right? BC. But this is our date that we are familiar with. But God, it was God, there is another column with it. Next to it is what we call the Anomaly AM. Anomaly means in the year of the world, okay? In the year of the world, of the year of creation. So God is interested for us to count forward the dates, count forward. So Adam was able to count the day, the days, the months, and the year, and so does Noah. In Noah, you will read in chapter 6 and 7, the dates given, because he was able to count even his own ship, boat, or raft. So the period from creation to the global flood, is a very dark piece of history. Dark in the sense that there is no teacher in the world there to support it. Only the culture support. So what do we rely on? We rely on the Bible to give us information on history. So chapter 1 to 11 are historical evidence that God gave it to us. Because there is no any other teaching. And then when they were in Babylon, God sent scandal because they said you should go out and populate the earth. That's what my plan is. Okay, good reason why they do it. I'm going to deal with you. They come on once a day. So now the founder of the is popular in chapter 7:11 is the king of the flood. Now the sun will drink your heart with continents. But also the founder of the king of the sky will close at 8:2, but about 150 days later, it's closed. And now water now. And the water receded from the earth in front of the verse 10. And then in verse 8, 16, God, yeah, is dry enough for them to go out there. Not completely dry enough for them to go out because they were high ground themselves. The beginning of his kingdom was stable and here our days. And then, last, then the divine days in the book of God. And it will tend that it took these nations to separate from the earth. Now, the reason why God asked them to get out, you know, spread around the earth and put food and multiply, because they need to migrate before the land beaches disappear in the vicinity of the flood. So all the islands of all the continents were actually connected. They can walk in each of the different continents. So they did it. So North American native, they migrated from Europe, went over to Asia, and went into the continent. So this thing is still separated, these continents. And they need to preserve also. There's another reason why they would spread it. They need to preserve because they're going to spread out in heaps, right? So the genetic is going to be lesser and lesser. Now they need to reproduce. They need to marry to keep the human population alive. You know? Now the global global what is it? Population increase by 9% now. We need 2.1, is it? Actually to satisfy the what they call the normal to replace person. Think of one. So that is very low. And we are going to an extinction, right? So that's why she said, come and take us here. But of course, you know, they are not affected by the, you know, the genetics. They'll get out affected, but if you go home, you can rebody. So the genetic food, you don't know how rebody is like, I assume there's still genetics. So this is how it was done. So they were separated out. Now, come to the important part now. Genesis 9 verse 10 and 11 verse 2, I'm going to read to you. 11 verse 2 and 11 verse 2. It has happened as they journeyed from east that they found Canaan in the land of Shinar. I'm not sure why Genesis study Bibles were buried as in the best translation. I don't know why they lift out the word from the BC. I think in some version they lift from this. But it's very clear in that Hebrew word, which is called Yukereb, the end of the man, first one there, shaded yellow, means from. Okay, it means from. And then it's journey, so from, journey from the east, should be the right translation. And they found a plain, the land of Shinar, and settled there. We go back to chapter 10, verse 10. The beginning of his kingdom, which is Nimrod, was Babel in Erech and Mitra, and the land of Shinar. And from the land, he went out in Assyria and built Nineveh, and they could both build Calais. In Basin, within the Delaware, within anywhere in Kela, that is the great city. The reason is the great city. Yeah? Okay, so much as we get from the Bible in a very condensed way. But it's important, you know, verse 2 is very important, from the east is very important. If you say Babylon is in lower Mesopotamia, it means near the coast, you have to get down. From the mountain of Ararat in the north, in the south of the Zagros Mountain is out of Iran now. And then we journey the east. It's not correct. Yeah. So I'm going to show you why this is not a good thing. So let's look at the language here. I'm going to tell you a bit of history now. From the bigger technology point of view. So you have a flood at 2.5 BC, I think 1656 and 1657, which is the The other reading, forward reading of the language. So they spoke one language, Adamic Noahic language. I don't think the language changed for Adam, but Adam was still regarded in one language. You don't know what language is that one? In 2397, Nimrod city built, they see a one town, okay, in Upper Mesopotamia. And then in 2390, the Tower of Babel was built. That's when the language got confused into 70 languages and geographies. Because you count people, Ham, Shem, Japheth, 70 people are mentioned, so many names. And then in 2360, Sargon the Archangel became the king. Once again, so they speak Akkadian and Sumerian, which is non-Semitic languages. Okay? Again, I call it the Arrow languages, a lot of arrows. We put the arrows together, I can't read it. Also kind of Sumerians. And then when you come to Abraham, which is a bit later, 213 BC, after started to they speak Arabic language. Okay? And this become very popular during the Babylonian time. So that's why they use the Arabic language, which we covered a little bit last in the last session about some of the loan terms from Persia and also from Greek. So in 1875, when Jacob ran away from Laban, yeah, remember they were putting house of stones and then they make a covenant between the two of them, no more enemies. Jacob spoke Hebrew, but Laban uses one word in Aramaic. Okay? So, as you can see, Aramaic was still important then. And then it comes to Nebuchadnezzar, of course. In talk, they use Aramaic as a language, but the royal recording is in Akkadian. Okay? So, you still need to know how to record in Akkadian doing those things. I don't know if they actually know Akkadian. I'm not sure. They didn't play any of them. So I assume that when you go to heaven, you either speak one language that belongs to God, or you speak thousands of tongues and you still understand nothing. Can only assume these two extremes, so I don't know if you didn't worry about it. You will speak a language anyway. Now, this is the map that is commonly found in any of the secular literature. What you see is a lot of towns and centers towards the lower part of Mesopotamia, yeah? Not in the northern part. All these are missing because this is 2400, which is just up the top. So where are the cities that are moving? They're not in Upper Mesopotamia. Yeah. Now let's go and do an investigation. Now there's a paper published in the Journal of Creation, the CMSI by these two guys, Ken Griffin and Aaron White. They propose that Babel is actually located in Upper Mesopotamia. So there's the first Babel, and then it got migrated in the south in Babylon, which is in Iraq. Yeah. And then it migrated, the concept of Babel become a system of belief migrated from Rome. Basically talking about the bad culture, you know, that being Canaanite culture, something like that. And then in the last day, we did say, we did talk about it 3 years ago, that Babel would be Jerusalem in the last days. And this is mentioned in Revelation. Now, the new research indicates that the tribes first settled in Upper Northern Mesopotamia. They satisfied all the list of criteria they looked for if they settled in Northern Mesopotamia, except one, which is the evidence of a cairn that fire with bricks being made to build the Tower of Babel. Right? So they need to dig. They haven't dug yet, so they're digging now, I'm assuming. So other than that, it makes sense because journey from the east, Yeah. So they follow a lot of evidence and you got to read the paper, search for it, research for it better in the creation.com website, you find so this is the map they draw out according to what is available information that we know today. Now, so the orange mountains are actually is where Ararat is situated. So journey from the east means they go into northern or the southern part of Turkey today, as we know, the northern Mesopotamia. But there are a couple of land north, which is Göbekli Tepe, are you? These two are the earliest human civilization ever discovered there. Okay. So it makes sense then that the earliest civilization after the flood in modern Mesopotamia. Now, this is interesting because if you have everyone here, then you have also the other towns as well, which I'm going to make it simpler for you to look at it in the Google Earth thing. So, Shina means between two rivers. So it can be lower Mesopotamia or upper Mesopotamia, as long as it's between the rivers, that's not Shina. Now, they are looking at the digging around in the southern part there, just in that box in the south western. Now there's a Ur as well in this modern Mesopotamia. There's a Harad there as well, which is basically we know that the only one Harad. So they believe also that Abraham actually coming from this area, not in the south. So when you know, historian, you want to look at it more, you can read about it. I'm just going to cover this stage here. Now, we're going to read chapter 4 for the curious flavors of the flavors of the thing that apply to Christ today. So we're going to read from verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to pick up your Bible. In verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, all the peoples, nations, and men of every tongue that inhabit all the earth, may your peace abound. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders in which the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs and how strong are his wonders? His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, these first three verses is put here in chapter 4 in the English version. In the Masoretic text, the Hebrew version of the Arabic anyway, it is put in chapter number 3, it's verse 31 to 32. Chapter 3, verse 30 is the last verse in the English version. But in the Hebrew text, it is put chapter 3. And I think it probably makes more sense to put in chapter 3 because it was fresh from the understanding of how God so powerfully delivered Daniel's three friends from the furnace of fire. So he saw those evidence and these signs and wonders. So he declared them. Verse 1 and verse 3. Okay. Let's look at the Nebuchadnezzar's great journey. So in chapter 2, verse 47, he started to question his worldview about gods. He was introduced to Yahweh from Daniel. And so he said, truly your God is God of gods and a Lord of kings. And a revealer of mystery, since you have been able to reveal this mystery to me. Yeah? That's what he said in chapter 2, verse 47. But we still with the Babylonian gods. Okay? In chapter 3, verse 25, 26, and 29, the book is, Son of the gods, you servants of the Most High God, come here. This is the end of the Come and go to supposed to play golf. And then he said there should be no offensive words against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So his view is changing slightly. Yeah. And then came this these three verses, which is at the back there, which you just read, talking about the signs of Yahweh. So he's closer to God, but he's not yet a Christian yet, not yet a follower of Yahweh. Yeah. In chapter 4, verse 3, he said, great are his signs, strong his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. So Nebuchadnezzar is interested in his kingdom, how to make it last. Yeah. And of course, he was being shut down for this reason. You know? He's understanding the image of God. Let's continue reading from verse 4. I Nebuchadnezzar was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. So it's maybe years have passed since the furnace event, and he's now saying, I was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream and it made me fearful. And these fantasies as I lay on my bed, and the visions in my head kept with me. So I gave a decree to king to bring into my presence all the wise men of Babylon that they might make known to me the intention of the dream. Then the magicians and the conjurers, the Chaldeans and the diviners came in, and I said to them, and they could not make this interpretation known to me. But at last, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I say the dream to him, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, since I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mercy and no mystery is difficult for you, say to me the vision of my dream, which I have seen along with his interpretation. Continuing verse 10. Now these were the visions of my head as I lay on my bed. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the middle of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached to the sky, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. End of the whole earth. This is hyperbole, which we talk later on. His foliage was beautiful and his fruit abundant, and it was good food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the sky inhabited its branches, and all the flesh fed itself from it. Verse 13. I was looking in the visions in my head as I lay on my bed. Behold, the watcher of Holy One descended from heaven. He called out loudly and saying, thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its foliage and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. Yet leave the stump with its roots in the earth, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field. Let him be drenched in the dew of heaven, in the dew of heaven. And let him share with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, and let the heart of a beast be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him. Now, this edict is by the resolution of the watchers, and the decision is a command of the Holy One in order that the living may know that the Most High is the powerful ruler over the kingdom of mankind and gives us to whom he wishes and set up over it the lowest man. This is a dream which I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, say to me its interpretation, inasmuch as none of the wise men of my kingdom is able to make known to me invitation, that you are able for the spirit of the Holy Ghost is in you. And so let's read a little bit. So in verse 14 to 17 is the spiritual realm. The angel came in the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, and the angel announced discipline. Okay? And this is book degree was the decision of the angels. Yeah. The leader may know that Yahweh is the ruler of the kingdoms of men, and then Yahweh gives it to whom he wishes in verse 18. Okay. So this passage helps us to believers to understand the work of God and his angels. And I learned how to pray, so that I learned how to pray according to the nations and also leaders in the green era. Yeah. So we pray for leaders in the politics world. We pray for certain countries, maybe we have passion for certain countries. Pray for them. So this means that God has used Mr. Obama, Mr. Biden, Mr. Trump, and Mr. Xi, and every other head of states to shape the geopolitical world for his purpose. Let us sing it a little bit. That means we're going to pray that God's plan can be fulfilled. Whoever is the president of the United States, whoever is the premier of China. Okay, a few more verses here. Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was called for a bar as he saw on other people. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream of this interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and his interpretation to your adversaries. So he's so problematic. Daniel, to the king, he said, only if I wish that this dream applied to somebody else, not you. The tree that you saw, which became large and grew strong, whose height reached to the sky and was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant and in which was good for all, under which the beasts of the field inhabited, and in those in whose branches the birds of the sky dwell. It is you, O king, for you have become great and grown strong, and your greatness have become even greater and reached the sky in your dominion to the end of the earth. Another meaning. There are other empires, but it's actually very good. So where is the earth? And in that, the king saw a watcher, a holy one, descending from heaven and saying, chop down the trees and destroy it, and yet leave the stump with its roots in the earth, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass field, let him be drenched in the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts of the field until 7 periods of time passed over him. This is interpretation of king. And this is the resolution of the Most High, which must reach my Lord and King. That you be driven away from mankind, and your place of habitation be with the beasts of the field, and you be given grass to eat like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven, and 7 years of time will pass over you until you know that the Most High is a powerful ruler over the kingdom of mankind, and gives it to whomever he wishes. Yeah. And in that, they say to leave the stump from the roots of the tree, the kingdom will endure for you after you know that in his heaven, the rules of power. Therefore, O king, may my advice seem good to you. Break away now from your sins, bringing righteousness and from the iniquities, and showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your service. Verse 28. All this reached Nebuchadnezzar the king. So Nebuchadnezzar got all the information, the interpretation, and it was speaking to him by letter. And at the end of 12 months, so 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king answered and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal house by the strength of my power and for the glory of my majesty. While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is said the kingdom has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your palace, the place of habitation, will be the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat and cattle, and 7 years of time will pass over you until you know that Most High is the powerful ruler over the kingdom of mankind and gives it to whomever he wishes. Immediately, the work concerning Nebuchadnezzar was accomplished, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair has grown the eagle's feathers, his legs like its claws. So verse 30 is very important here, which I believe that is tweet. Is it not Babylon the Great, which my myself view as the foreign great presidents might have united with power and control of the majesty? So he was exiled and lived like an animal, which is an ox. And saying, there's this neurological condition that talk about you know, somebody also to be like this. Who is exiled like Nebuchadnezzar and King Strong? Yeah, what? It's the child, right? You know, exiled for 4 years and then he came back very strong as well. So I say, Christians in the internet, they say, when John was supposed to be living, the first thing he said is Cyrus, you know, and Simon. I said, well, I'll speak to them. They don't know what to do. A few more verses to finish. 34. But at the end of those days, I never can necessarily lift up my eyes toward heaven. And my knowledge returned to me, and I blessed the Most High God and the Most High and praise the Holy who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, but he does according to his will, the hope of heaven, and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can strike against his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the time, at that time of my knowledge returned to me, my majesty and splendor will turn to me for the glory of my kingdom. And my high officials and my nobles began seeking me out. So I was re-established in my kingdom, extraordinary creatures and that to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of Heaven, for all his books are true, he's very just, and is able to humble those who walk in proud. So this is the confession of salvation. God is suffering knowledge upon his. In those days, the faith is interpreted as you follow God, yeah? You follow Yahweh. So that's all us to find. Follow Yahweh, come salvation. So let's look at Daniel verse 4, verse 3. Great are his signs, strong and wonders, his kingdom is everlasting, and the proclaimed generation to generation. So he knows this part of King David, and he's not yet commit his life in him. Verse 47, then he said, now I have been a crazy exalted upon the King of Heaven, for all his books are true and he's just. And he's able to humble those who walk with him. So he's completely changed. Now he's worthy of God. So let's look at a bit about the ancient books. So you have Roman numerals, 1 to 5 important key topics from the Royal Testimony in verse 1 to 3, dream received in 4 to 8 weeks, having written the dream to view. Then the dream was fulfilled in 28 to 33, but the Palestinians restored the people. So this chapter is written in such a way where you include the verse 3 verses. Now, there is this specification of something, and then at the end is this something saber que escola é ele. Foi ele que estrofa. Para ele ver se ele foi que serve para todo dia me sinto. So Nebuchadnezzar was very good to his seasons, those others who appear to him. Because it's a picture that gives shape to the animals, the birds, and foods for all. So the king was at rest and flourishing his palace. He said everything's so good now. Yeah. But then the dream came. Disturbing dream came. So vision of that tree that provides food for all, and they cut down at the command of the watcher, which is an angel, or watcher is an angel. The divine decree, the sun is left bound with fire and God kept his wisdom in as a tree, the sun is there, see they grow back. So God protected his kingdom. God can take it away from him because he wanted to change his life. So the heart of a man is changed to that of a beast for 7 times. Usually it's translated as 7 years. I don't know why seven times and not 7 years in terms of big Shara. Not even there, I don't know why. Purpose so that the living may know God over the kingdoms of men. Now, if you imagine yourself 7 years behaving like a fox, you wow. It's no fun. Is it fun? Get back from the view of heaven outside and living outside. Join the animals. You make a talk with animals. Not with men anymore. So we must not fear this world persecution of death. According to the Bible, it was just God is in control of his plan and conditions. As God is a plan to be in your busy things of Singapore, God, working here, whatever it is, God is a plan to be. Do not follow the health and wealth of the people. They share only general knowledge to you. No secrets that is necessary. If there is a secret, then you will know. Not just you, everybody will know the secret, will bow. Not technically tested, but it just share the spin of the place of general knowledge. Now the dream is revealed. Okay? So he did not have to interpret it, but Daniel appointed him. So Daniel's God, Yahweh. He said, Yahweh speaking to you about this. Yeah? So the tree is Nebuchadnezzar himself. The cutting down symbolizes his coming humiliation and the loss of sanity. The sun represents preservation of future restoration. But what did Daniel say? Daniel preaches repentance as well. He said, break off the sins by righteousness. That's what he said. We are given a message that many of the politicians today, which you say it. You hide it. Said it. Then in verse 28 to 33 is a dream. So everything that Nebuchadnezzar dreamt about came to pass. And he's driven out from his palace for men, living like an animal for 7 years. So the substitution as a king. It's not 100 days, but 7 years. It's a really long time. And so this restoration of praise. So Nebuchadnezzar's repentance prompted his kingdom to be restored back. And that's how it ended. Chapter 4. So let's look at Nebuchadnezzar. So now Yahweh is also my high God, he said. And Yahweh of and this Yahweh is the same as the Yahweh of Daniel and the three friends. So basically, he canceled out the Babylonian God and his life. So Worshiping Yahweh, the king's image of God is restored. When you worship God, when you become an ambassador for God, you are living in the image of God that supposed to be. So we position ourselves in the image of God rather than below the image of God. Very important to understand the image of God. Because of the image of God, they're dominating the world, especially. Normally, there's a put everybody in slavery. It means that we have a better view of the world being, of the world is what is going on in the other time. So here's the application. Acknowledge God's sovereignty in our success. Humble ourselves before Him. If you worry about sicknesses and things, pray. Trust in His power to restore and be able to transform us. And if you're able to transform others, so just share your gospel with everyone that you know. Oh, I don't talk about this at times. And 10 more minutes about the street. Because God shares His kingdom. Now, someone modeled the assassination attempt of Mr. Trump on the 13th of July in the U.S. Saturday. The line of fire was there. All the variables were in exact position for the bullet. His head. Okay. The shooter was in the right position. He shot in the right direction. Bullet hit at the right time. But suddenly, Trump's head turned to the exact angle of escape in the split of a second. Split of a second, this bullet. So Trump was alerted as well to duck for more bullets and follow afterwards. So he was able to die. And this is my escape from there. When I heard about it, I said, he's going to be president. You assassinate someone, you know, you book something, you think about it, you know, it's important now. Now, the probability of such an escape is almost zero. Impossible. Yeah. The speed of second, impossible. There's no such thing in the encountering probabilities. It's a huge probability of this thing. This is God's motivation. Why is God's motivation? Because God keeps it to fulfill the future for us that we can go home. Thank you. And so, you have this question, why was Mr. Trump not assassinated there? Why was Mr. Kirk assassinated? He could have him. He's doing his job from God. Because in the political world, there's no one like Mr. Trump to do this work for God. When we go to chapter 11, then we will understand a bit more on why Mr. Trump is in use in the international world. He said he's doing a lot of work internationally, which is important for the agents. So we try to look at that in chapter 11. So chapter 4 explains the faith journey and give us more answers. Yes, what we tell in history because it shapes the kingdom for its purpose. Therefore, God selects a leader to act on his behalf. And he's kind of questioning, so we don't have any complaint. So this is a summary that he allows Mr. Biden to won by a the latest statement that he had raided from the county, the election will be because there were discrepancies. In archives, all these things that are coming up, that you know, he's true that he was stolen, but God allowed him to be stolen. Mr. Trump became the enemy of the state, was opposed to plan to return. God gave him a modern landslide. 90% of the counties are turning right. Turning right means turning towards red zone, which is in color of the Republican. So he has a mandate to execute conservative agenda and decree executive order. So when he does that, he did not go against the U.S. Constitution. He studied all the books of the previous president, and he do that because he doesn't create a precedent for the Supreme Court in both of it. So he always looks history good. So when Mr. Pete Hegseth was here in May, June, the Shangri-La Diamond. He said Mr. Lee Kuan Yew is similar to Mr. Trump, facing both leaders from common sense approaches to governance. And of course, lots of Koreans voted for Trump after the meeting because they said our divide is much more effective. That's what I understand. I say this understanding. Yes, Lee Kuan Yew is an exceptional leader, one in the 20th century, one in a century. But Mr. Trump is also an exceptional leader. But in a plural world, well, in great world, Mr. Trump was more like Nebuchadnezzar than President Greenland. You must know about this first. Now, I'm using the curvature of this pillar to draw the screen now. So, if the northern part of Russia bombed missile, ICBM missile, just pick one point. If the missile is shot from that place to three different US cities, from Portland, St. Paul, and New York, it has to go through them. And then the Europeans, when this really happened, the Europeans said, it's not our defense space, how can we fight it? You can't help. That's the reason for breathing. I'm not saying that we should get rid of it. I'm not neutral to this thing. I think what is working now, if it happens, it happens. What is for it? So NATO is always in the top, the number one chief. So you need someone like him to do the actual work and just talk. So you say, what about the president? Because Russia could fire in the US for the president as well. But the Pacific, you have Korea, Japan, Japan, Korea, Guam, Hawaii, which is the best territories. So they are the ones who pick up the signal first before the action. Because they, the ICBM created by China and Russia, are 20 to 30, 25 mark. 1 mark is the speed of sound. So 20 to 30, 25 times faster than the speed of sound. And US doesn't have this kind of fast ICBM. Why? Because in place of agreement, the ICBM agreement, many years, no nation is supposed to make ICBM as faster than the speed of sound. So much. So we will cover the biblical worldview in chapter 11, because there is two kingdoms that will be formed in the last days. Whether that chapter 11 deal with the Greek Empire, the time after the Greek Empire, or actually for us, which will be the end time when two empires fighting against each other. So now the two, they're seen for me now. So you have China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. This is one class. And the rest of the world is supposed to be the same class. So, based on geography, we can look at this in the north. So, we will cover all those later on a little bit more recently. Now, there is one person who is very interesting. He's taught by the name of Dr. Pippa Margaret. He said, there are two views and knowledge of Star Wars and Star Trek. Star Wars means wars and death. Star Trek means adventure in space and find more information and more things that the person required to build the AI, right? So she started with this Svalbard, Baltic Sea undersea cables cut. It's about 40 days before Russia went to Ukraine. So they didn't have any more digital communication. They rely on Starlink. Apparently, the digital communication, even though it was through space, they focus on the cable. When you look at a cable map, a such cable map with many, many cables, including those by Google and Facebook and Facebook. So, US in a space race with China. Because there's limited energy, you can absorb the power of the radiation, beam back Earth as breakaway. This technology is not Earth. In fact, Google is working on data center in space because they can get all this sun energy to power them. On the moon, there's a very high amount of helium 3, which is an important high energy source. Find the moon, you can get all this energy. That's important. Minerals, the rare earth minerals are in the asteroids. Okay? So Russia and China are circling a big piece of Iceland, getting as well. If you control islands, you control part of the world. So that's why the US president is very worried about this. He said, now let's talk about hyperbole, which is an extravagant statement of figure of speech. The Bible followed, would it be read who are written the ends of the earth? What did the end of the earth? You see, in the Chinese Empire, so in verse 23, chapter 23, verse 24, in Matthew, you strain out a net, but swallow a camel. This is a humorous exaggeration exposing the basic hypocrisy. The hypocrisy is real, but the net and the camel is not real. In John 12, 19, the whole world has gone after him. So the Pharisees exaggerated Jesus' popularity out of frustration. No way. So we all speak like that. And this is what I like to test. Chapter 4, verse 35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look in the field. Look at the fields, that they are white for harvest. We study Ruth, we know that the harvesting of wheat, most likely harvesting of wheat here, because it's more important crop, from mid-May to mid-June. 4 months before is mid-January, when the wheat is not really. That's why the field is white. Yeah? So why did Jesus talk about harvesting that the crop is not even ready yet? He's not, the crop is talking about harvesting people, right? Come. Issues. So it prevents misreading and it helps to interpret this emotional intensity, which is here, poetic expression, prophetic evidence in Jesus. It's Jesus' teaching style. You can understand. And we are speaking a lot of idioms as well. And Mr. Trump is the king of hyperbole. He said, never before in the history of not even close. All these are idioms. They're not lies, they're idioms. Why? Because he wants to differentiate himself from the rest of the world, the rest of the leaders. That separation, differentiating, is a lone up and there at the top. His policy is different, completely different from his president's. Because of the amount of Paris. Every household, every organization, every company, every nation has a P&L statement, a profit and loss. But let's just look at the income stream. Where do we collect income for attention for our person? So you have corporate income tax, right? Personal income tax, then you have consumption tax for GST. And then you have customs, utilities, and green tax as well. And perhaps others, step to the economies. And six is tariffs. So if you don't have tariffs, then you want to increase the budget of the country or of the household, you increase other revenues. So you increase the corporate tax, companies will move out of things and they will walk in the country. Increase the personal tax, people will complain. Same as consumption as well. Custom utility being taxed mainly in blue, but still, as you may have paid for it. But what you want others to pay for it, then to say, Harris, there's no such thing as free trade. Your future, then you have to cut costs, cut the government costs, you have to come down the government costs to meet the budget. The United States did not have an income tax after the Civil War. 1865 is the end of the Civil War, because it rebuilt the country. He was not born again. But after the Civil War, so the tax was repealed, he was reintroduced in 1894 to recover lost revenues from tariff reductions. However, it was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. So in the 16th Amendment, the Congress make a law of 16th Amendment to the Constitution, establish the Congress right to impose a federal income tax. So that is not. Mr. Trump now wants to go back to the days, say, we will not, we will reduce the income tax of the people by making tax tariffs on the ships. That's what he wants to do. Full of that, and the U.S. saying, so, I'm going to finish there. Chapter 5, we talk about writings on the wall, which is also very interesting. The writing on the wall is actually a sort of idiom, which is used in the real case of England. So, we try to interpret meaning, passing. Let's pray and then we finish it. Dear Lord, thank you for so much that we can use from Daniel to interpret what the world we're living in. Because the time is approached, we don't know when, and we submit us to let us walk already and so people, bring people to your kingdom and this world be faithful to spread the gospel, which is important, depends message we want to give to the world. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.